Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Yeah, thank you very much, Randy. Great to be in the studio as we answer your questions and deal with some of the most significant issues facing the modern world. And in light of new realities, the criticality of challenges that we're facing, I want to make sure that we're dealing with those issues that are most poignant and profound in our generation. And so I'll be giving deeper answers to critical issues of our times during the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the issues that I deal with? You can find resources related to those issues on the web at equip.org. We have a number of resources available for those who support the ministry all this month. Again, check them out on the web at equip.org. And do remember, this year has been a year of enormous change for the ministry, change for the better, in that we're adding more and more to our arsenal, as it were. We now do the Hank Unplugged podcast. We're doing Facebook Live, YouTube Live. We're engaging social media or digital media platforms on many different levels. Today, I also am reminded of the criticality of a book that I wrote titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And I want to start out by talking about how relevant that book is in light of the fact that tragically, today, the Islamic State has once again surfaced on American soil. And that in New York, where you have Akayad Ula, a Brooklyn resident of Bangladeshi descent, who attempted to wreak havoc using an improvised explosive device. Thankfully, the damage was not as extensive as he had undoubtedly hoped it would be. But this is nonetheless a grim reminder of the fact that the Islamic State continues to garner a steady stream of jihadi recruits in Western cultures. And of course, the greatest purveyor of global Islamic jihadism is not ISIS, as much as we might think it is, but more correctly, our putative ally, Saudi Arabia. We don't like to talk about that because, as has been well said, we're addicted to Saudi oil, and addicts seldom tell the truth about their pushers. Hillary Clinton once candidly confessed that donors in Saudi Arabia constitute the most significant source of funding to Sunni terrorist groups worldwide. And former Democratic Senator from Florida, Bob Graham, overtly dubbed ISIS a product of Saudi ideals, of Saudi money, and of Saudi organizational support. All of this, of course, is being whitewashed in the Western world, where Sharia subservient states, including Saudi Arabia, are consistently being portrayed as peace-loving allies in the fight against terrorism. Little wonder, then, that when the Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia declared it necessary to destroy every single church in the whole of the Arabian Peninsula, Western governments did not so much as blink. But make no mistake, we're at a tipping point in history. While squarely in the blind spot of the West, Christians in the Middle East face mass genocide. And concurrently, we face a demographic time bomb that threatens the Western world, a Western world seemingly blind to the polygamous rush of migrant Muslims filling a vacuum left by aging, dying, and aborted Westerners. And while the West continues to coddle an Islamic time bomb, it is simultaneously cultivating a rash of self-destructive ideals, socially destructive trends, trends that are inevitably leading us towards social chaos. And the only real answer to mass genocide in the East and mass chaos in the West, social norms that are disintegrating before our very eyes, is the power of the gospel, no matter how dark the times. And I've said this many times before, it's not enough for us to be intellectually equipped. We must also be internally equipped with a power that is in us but not of us. And that is ultimately the power of Christ, the energy, which ultimately allows us to live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. The energy that alone is sufficient to overcome a world, well, a world quite literally in chaos. Again, the book that I've written in this regard, titled Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And I think, Christina, this is an issue that is going to be with us for, well, for all apparent purposes, for a long period of time, maybe forever. I mean, we had the terrorist attacks that I just talked about, but we also have the undertow of migration without assimilation. So we're dealing with some very significant critical issues in Western civilization, and I want to deal with those in a very significant way on the Bible Answer Men broadcast.
And it's really important because people want to talk about, you know, they want to talk about accepting other people or what they call tolerance, which, as we learned at the conference, is kind of a little demeaning to say, I tolerate you, which means, like, you kind of puts you on a moral high ground sometimes. But we want to say that we're accepting other people's whatever they're doing, but then we don't know what they're doing. And so it's just, and then we complain about, you know, what's happening out of an ideology that some people might not be doing, but are connected to by virtue of being in the same religion. So I think it's really important that, you know, it's okay to talk about these ideas and still be accepting of another person. I mean, people come at, Christians have to answer for, you know, things like Westboro Baptist Church and slavery and all of these things. So why shouldn't Islam have to answer for jihad? It's a fair question.
Absolutely. Tolerance when it comes to personal relationships is a virtue. Tolerance when it comes to truth, a travesty. Some of the critical issues that we deal with on the Bible Answer Man broadcast have to do with the issue of origins. I've said it many times, but how one views their origins will inevitably determine how they live their lives. And to that end, I've written many resources, and I was just talking to one of my colleagues, Larry Johnston, about the fact that there are so many kids leaving the Christian faith. They are in church for years and years and years, and then off to college for a few months, and they come home stripped of their faith. And why is it? It is because they encounter questions that they simply do not know how to deal with. So on the one hand, we have the onslaught of illicit Islam. On the other hand, we have the onslaught of materialists who are stripping away the faith of those who believe in substance dualism. The fact that the world is not just material, but there's something beyond the material. We're not just brains, physical brains, but we have minds that cause the physical synapses of the brains to fire. But some of the questions that we're dealing with are questions like, if we can't see God, how in the world can we know that He exists? How can there be this certainty that there is a God? So that when we're praying, we're not just mumbling, but we're communicating with an uncaused first cause. And not only an uncaused first cause, but an uncaused first cause that has made Himself knowable through the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's not uncommon for skeptics to suppose that Christians are irrational for praying, for believing in a God that they cannot see. But the truth is, it is irrational to suppose that what cannot be seen, therefore, does not exist. The fact that something cannot be seen does not mean that that something doesn't exist. Think electrons, or laws of logic, or the law of gravity. They all exist despite the fact that we can't see them. Not only so, but think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 1, when he says that God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature are clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, and therefore we are without excuse. Let me put that another way. The order, the complexity of the visible universe testify to the existence of the God that we trust and serve and pray to. And let me underscore that further by saying that God has been seen, that God has been revealed through the person and work of Jesus Christ. So God is not only ineffable, He is incarnate in the person and work of Christ. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. Now, these are answers that we ought to be able to give so that the student in school is not stumped, but can use the objection as a springboard to reach people who are in positions of authority. And there are many other such questions that we ought to have answers to. I've written about the answers to those questions in the Creation Answer Book, a book that is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, a book you can check out on the web at equip.org.
One of my favorite stories that relates to this is there, I think people have seen it. It's on Facebook. I had it at a conference the other day, and it's basically a teacher is confronting a student and saying, why do you have faith? Can you feel God? Can you taste God? Can you see Him? Can you hear Him? Can you smell Him? No, He must not exist. So the student goes and responds, well, everyone, we assume that the professor has a brain, right? Well, we can't see the brain. We can't touch the brain. We can't taste the brain. We can't hear it, and nor can we smell it. So he must not have a brain. It was just a funny quip, but that was actually Einstein that had said that. I never knew that. That story went around and found out that Einstein's the person that told that story. And it just goes to show that sometimes there are things that are evident through, like, there's evidence for things even if we don't see who made the evidence. And that's what faith is. And I think, you know, the reason that we don't have all the answers is because if we did, then there wouldn't be reason for faith.
Yeah, and Einstein, you know, it's interesting. He didn't believe in a personal God as far as I know, but he certainly looked around the universe and said, wow, this universe shows that there has to be something beyond the mere material. So if Einstein could see design in the universe, we ought not to forfeit that vision ourselves. Again, I've written about this in many different places, including the Creation Answer Book, which you can find on the web at equip.org. Remember, we do exist to give answers to questions, demonstrating that there is not a blind faith, but a reasonable faith that we are addicted to. It is a faith founded on a refutable fact. Check out the resources on the web at equip.org. And do remember, this is December. This is the month in which the ministry makes up the most ground economically. We have lost a lot of ground this year, and we pray that if you have some of the Lord's resources, you would consider prayerfully investing those resources in our ministry. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, and we will be right back.
In these tough economic times, many ministries are being forced to pull back on their outreach. You can help ensure the Bible Answer Man broadcast isn't one of them by partnering with us through a gift of any amount today. No gift is too large or too small to help keep truth on the air. Whether you can give $10 or $10,000, your generosity will be part of God's provision for this entirely listener-supported ministry, silencing the skeptics and equipping multiplied millions of Christians to defend their faith effectively and lovingly. To partner with us today, please call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. Thank you for helping to bless others as you've been blessed by the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Did you know that you are an important part of God's plan for the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute? CRI is entirely supported by people like you who share our mission to equip all Christians to give an answer for the hope we have. So every life-changing broadcast and resource is made possible by your prayers and gifts. Your tax-deductible gift today will help CRI end the year strong. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And do remember, when you give to us, you're in fact giving through us, through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, touching the lives of people for both time and for eternity. And I am persuaded that the Bible teaches a form of Christian capitalism. In other words, responsibility associated with wealth. God's Word does not promote the possession of money for the sake of possessing money, but instead it encourages all of us to use money for the sake of the kingdom. In other words, a biblical view of wealth involves having an eternal perspective. And I have talked about this on many occasions, that there's no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we could but catch the joy of contagious giving. Not only would we be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, but we would be enabled to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, care for the sick. And like our forefathers who founded great centers of Christian education and established countless hospitals, funded relief organizations and ministries like the Christian Research Institute, we could yet make an indelible mark on the generation in which we live. This, again, is the month of transcendent importance to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Please give us a show of support by standing with us prayerfully as well as tangibly in a financial way. You can make your gifts out, tax-deductible gifts, to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute in safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Whatever you can do would be deeply appreciated, used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom.
And we had someone write in on Facebook, and we wanted to share it on the broadcast today. Her name is Dana. She says, "My mom has non-Hodgkin lymphoma. She has aggressive cancer. She listens to Hank faithfully and loves Jesus. I know this might never reach Hank. We pray for him always. My mom's name is Vivian. We are in Edmonton, Alberta. One day I wish Hank could talk to her. She knows where she's going and wants to go. It's hard for me to say hear her say this. Here is our number. I'm not expecting him to call. It would be a miracle, though. I support Hank's ministry. People love sports people, movie stars. We love Hank."
Well, I don't know about the miracle, but I definitely will call. And so you have the number. Hopefully we can place a call tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you remember.
I will remember.
It would be wonderful to have that opportunity to speak to someone who is suffering with the same kind of a cancer as I do. I also suffer with a lymphoma. I don't know if I should use the word suffer, because I've hardly suffered. I feel great most of the time by God's grace. I can't explain it, but God has been very gracious to me. And, you know, I think part of the reason is I have a mission, and that mission is an important mission. We started talking about that in the last segment of the broadcast, or the first segment of this particular broadcast. Questions that are asked, and these are important questions. They have to do with origins. How one views their origins will inevitably determine how they live their lives. Another one of the questions that I'm asked so often, and a question that all of us ought to get some kind of a grip on, is how many explanations there are for the existence of the universe. I mean, a lot of times people think there's got to be 1,000 different explanations. In reality, philosophical naturalism, which is the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, can only provide three explanations for the existence of the universe in which we live. The first explanation, that the universe is merely an illusion. Of course, this doesn't work very well in Western civilization, because even a full-blown solipsist looks both ways before they cross the street. The second possibility is that the universe sprang from nothing. This, of course, flies in the face of both the laws of cause and effect and energy conservation. And I think it's been well said that nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. Or to put it another way, there simply are no free lunches. The conditions that hold true in this universe prevent any possibility of matter springing out of nothing. Again, nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. There's a third possibility that is forwarded by philosophical naturalism, and that is that the universe has eternally existed. But the problem is this. The law of entropy predicts that a universe that has eternally existed would have died, well, an eternity ago, of a heat loss death. So that leaves us on the precipice of another possibility, and that is this. A possibility found in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, a chapter that tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In an age of empirical, testable science, nothing could be more certain. Nothing could be more clear. Nothing could be more correct. Now you have a responsibility to take what you have learned and to use it. And let me tell you something about that. If you will learn these things, and what I mean by learning these things is internalize the major outline of what I've just said. Philosophical naturalism, it's the worldview that undergirds evolutionism, can only give three explanations for the universe. And not one of the three corresponds to reality. In other words, they're all bunkum. And in the midst of this nonsense, we can give the only credible explanation and tie that explanation to a Bible that is denigrated in the modern world. A Bible that is no longer considered to be a reliable authority. So you kill two birds with one stone. You demonstrate that Christian theism alone has a relevant response in an age of scientific enlightenment, and at the same time, you demonstrate the certainty of Scripture. I mean, you talk about two for the price of one. This is the quintessential example.
That's true. I mean, I think it's really important to have this knowledge. But I think something that we also have to just come to grips with and understand is that there are some questions that can't be answered. We can come up with as much evidence as possible. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to take faith that our evidence was, you know, like, we take a leap of faith to walk out the door, you know? There's a lot of leaps of faith of even, like, our thinking and everything. So, and I think that is important because that has an element to play. I think since the Enlightenment, we think there must be a reason, for example, for suffering. And since there must be a reason, we should be able to attain it, because the narrative is that as humans, we are able to. But before the Enlightenment, that didn't really happen. People understood that there are just some things we don't understand, and that's okay. So I think that dynamic plays into it as well. Not to not have knowledge. Of course have knowledge, as much knowledge as you can gain. But also to recognize that our knowledge is limited. and that we won't be able to give, I mean, even to debate a scientist about the beginning of the earth, we both start from a leap of faith. It's kind of crazy to believe that there's an uncaused first cause. I'll give you, it's kind of crazy. I mean, it fits within the logic of what God's revealed to me. But I mean, I'll grant you, it sounds kind of crazy. But I'm like, it also sounds crazy that the world starts from nothing. So at least let's say that we're somewhat on the same playing field with that. A scientist does not have so much more enlightened reason than me.
Yeah, and of course, as I said earlier, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. God's eternal power is divine nature clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse. So we have an external light. We look at the night sky and we know there has to be a God. Not only that, but we have the internal light. God has written a knowledge of himself on the canvas of our consciousness. And therefore, if we respond to the light without and the light within, we can receive further light, and that is the light of Christ. And the beauty of the light of Christ was demonstrable again in the Word of God. The Word of God talks about God making himself known in Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, Paul in Colossians has a similar theme when he says God's eternal power is seen in Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were made, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. My point simply being that we will never stand before God and say, God, we didn't have enough light. If we respond to the light that God has given us, he will continuously give us more light. And I think this is precisely what Paul was talking about on Mars Hill. Where he was pointing to an unknown God who reveals the God who can be known. And Paul here talks about the fact that from one man, God created every nation of men that they may inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And God did this so that men might reach out for him and find him. And then the immortal words, though he is not far from each one of us. So wherever we are placed in this time-space continuum, if we seek after light, God is not going to impoverish us with darkness. Again, I've written about this and talked about this in various forums. Now we're making the videos available, so check us out on YouTube, on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, through the social media, digital media platforms. We make these available to you through the daily e-truths that can come directly to your inbox. If you're not signed up for the daily e-truth, check it out on the web, equip.org, and join right there. We'll be right back with a quote of the day.
Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are committed to providing the biblically and logically consistent answers you need to stand firm in your faith against the world's attacks and to strengthen Christians everywhere with the truth. But we can't do it without your help. As an entirely listener-supported ministry, we rely on God's provision through friends like you to keep the broadcast going strong every month. Will you partner with us through a gift of your support today? Every gift, large or small, helps build God's kingdom by equipping Christians to think Christianly. So please go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI today to be a part of God's provision for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you. Don't go away. Hank Hanegraaff will be back in a moment with more of the answers you need today. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a little program note, we're pivoting a little bit on social media tomorrow. We're going to be doing a social media broadcast on the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live as well as YouTube Live tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We're not going to be doing it at the same time as the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The two are going to be separate, one at 3 o'clock, Bible Answer Man Facebook Live and YouTube Live, and the program on radio course at 6 o'clock as normal. And then I'm also going to pivot on something else, and that is the quote of the day. In honor of Christina bringing up Einstein, the quote of the day comes from Albert Einstein. He is probably the most influential physicist of the 20th century. He won the Nobel Prize for Physics in, I think, back in 1921, that for his defining work on the photoelectric effect. But Einstein is most famous for developing the special and general theories of relativity. And of course, E equals mc squared, the most famous equation in all of history. And this is the first time that we became cognizant of the fact that a small amount of matter can create a tremendous amount of energy, or that matter and energy are interchangeable. So Einstein, we're going to quote him in honor of you, Christina. He was talking about the mysterious, and this is what he had to say. The most beautiful thing we can experience is the mysterious. It is the source of all true art and science. He to whom the emotion is a stranger, who can no longer pause to wonder and stand wrapped in awe, well, is as good as dead. His eyes are closed. The insight into the mystery of life, coupled, though it be with fear, has also given rise to religion. To know what is impenetrable to us really exists, manifesting itself as the highest wisdom and the most radiant beauty, which all our dull faculties can comprehend only in their most primitive forms. This knowledge, this feeling, is at the center of true religiousness. Again, the quote of the day by Albert Einstein. It'll be up on the web at equip.org. Do remember, all truth is God's truth. Whether it comes from Albert Einstein or from, well, some erudite Christian, all truth is God's truth, wherever that truth may be found. And Einstein, of course, is a prodigious intellect, and we ought to take what he says seriously, because this, in many ways, underscores the significance of what we say when we say we believe in an uncaused first cause, which leads me to a question that I want to broach on this edition of the Bible Answers Men broadcast as we think about the issues related to origins. And that is, how could the universe emerge out of nothing? How could it? When people face the compelling evidence that a universe began to exist at a definite point in time, a favorite fallback position is that it sprang into existence from nothing at all. This, however, ought to stretch our credulity beyond the breaking point. Something produced by nothing, from nothing, would logically have to create itself. But if it created itself, it would have to exist prior to its own creation, which means it must both exist and not exist at the same time, and in the same way, which is an utterly illogical conclusion. In order for something to exist without being the result of a prior cause, that something must be created. In other words, something that did not come into being but has always existed. Bottom line, the universe could not emerge out of nothing, but it can exist as an effect of an uncaused, eternal first cause. And I would emphasize first cause in all caps, because that is precisely what God is. I love the biblical text, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth, before you brought forth the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Those immortal words by King David, chronicled in Psalm 90. Again, we should never suppose that chance can account for the universe. When someone asks you whether chance can account for the universe, you can give them a very short answer. That answer is absolutely not. I mean, all you have to do is consider the ideal temperatures on planet Earth. Those temperatures are not duplicated on any other known planet in the universe. And if we were closer to the sun, we'd fry. If we were farther away from the sun, we would, of course, freeze. Not only so, but consider ocean tides. They're caused by the gravitational pull of the moon. If the moon were significantly larger, therefore having a stronger gravitational pull, devastating tidal waves would submerge large areas of land. If the moon were smaller, tidal motion would cease and the oceans would stagnate and die. Or, for that matter, consider plain old tap water. The solid state of most substances is denser than the liquid state. But the opposite is true for water, which of course explains why ice floats rather than ice sinking. If water were like virtually any other liquid, it would freeze from the bottom up rather than from the top down. That would kill aquatic life. It would destroy the oxygen supply, and it would make life on Earth uninhabitable. So, could chance account for the universe? Not a chance. From temperatures to tides to tap water, notice I alliterated that for you so you can remember it, from temperatures to tides to tap water. The Earth is an unparalleled masterpiece that should never be carelessly pawned off to blind evolutionary processes. And yet that is precisely what is happening. And children by the millions all over the world are drinking from the same jug of Kool-Aid. It is as dangerous and deceptive as what Jim Jones was serving up to devotees in Guyana. And what is the antidote to someone that has swallowed that Kool-Aid? What can save their lives eternally? It's your well-reasoned answer. That your ability to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Now, suppose you don't have the answer. Suppose it comes up in conversation and you were caught flat-footed. What do you do? Well, here's what you do. You humbly say, I'm going to research and return. Because trust me, there are good answers, and I can testify to you today, that is something that I have found to be true through over 30 years of ministry. Over and over again, I have been faced with questions, and oftentimes really didn't know what the answer was. Maybe even wondered, is there a good answer to that question? Well, what I've found over and over again, more than 30 years of being at this, is that there always is a satisfying answer within the context of a biblical worldview. Now, as Christina pointed out earlier, not everything can be reduced to reason. And I think that's why I gave you Einstein in honor of what you said earlier. Not everything can be reduced to reason. And that's what Einstein is talking about when he's talking about the mysterious. But in the mysterious, we see that there is a God. Whether Einstein believed in a personal God or not is not the issue here. We can demonstrate that the God who has revealed himself in the order of the universe is, in fact, personal. And I gave you the reasons for that earlier on in the broadcast. I won't re-articulate them right now. But remember, the answers to questions like these I've given to you in the Creation Answer Book. So that's one of the places you can go to research and return. It's one of the books that, you know, perhaps your child should go to university with. So when they're caught off guard, well, they've got a frame of reference, an easy, digestible answer to some of the complex questions that they're going to face on university campuses. And this, again, underscores one of the reasons that we do what we do at the Christian Research Institute. We are a ministry committed to giving answers, demonstrating that the biblical worldview does give credible answers, and that we are grounded in a firm faith on a firm foundation. And as we close the broadcast today, having answered some of the questions that relate to origins, I want to remind you that we are able to do this in many different venues, not only through the broadcast, but in talks, in opportunities worldwide, because of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. We're particularly grateful to those who are part of CRI's support team. Support team members are foundational to this ministry. If you don't know what a support team member is, check out what a support team member is on the web at equip.org. And when you become a support team member, be pleased to personalize a copy of any one of my books, including the Creation Answer Book, to you, to a family member, or to a friend. Again, check that out on the web at equip.org. If you're sending in your gift via the mail, remember our address, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Out of time for today, we'll be back tomorrow with more of the show live.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation. Supreme Being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.